We're back. There's a lot going on all around the country. I do suspect we're going to begin to see at some point news stories about invaders driving the wrong way on highways, on streets. They're unfortunately just mentally not up to the task. They're idiots. You can't function in a first world society with an IQ of 65 or 70. No. You can't be left on your own to do that. This invasion of our country is, without any question, in my view, the most heinous thing, and I include Europe and Britain, the most heinous thing I've ever seen in my life, next to the COVID bioweapon genocide. I should probably include the Israeli genocide as well. Genocide, period, that I've ever seen. It's astounding to me that the American people and Europeans literally stood aside and allowed this to happen and funded it. The American people, I'll go again, I'm guessing, but I'm projecting 45 and under, are so incompetent now. And when you get down to Gen Z, and there's some of you Gen Zers listening right now, you're great people. You get it. You understand. At least you're inquiring and you want to know. But the general rule of thumb is 45 and under, to the best of my projection, are so thoroughly addicted to their screens. They have no idea, and they're useless. They're useless eaters. They are products of mass mind control engineering. They don't know what reality is. Reality to them is what they see on their phones. That is their reality. Nothing else. There are exceptions, so again, whenever I say these things, they're sweeping generalizations. They're not absolutes, and there are usually always exceptions. But half of our populace, 45 and under, or wherever the median age is helpless, hopeless, uninformed, lost. You'd have to go back and literally re-educate all of these people. Take them back to junior high school. Literally, to bring them up to speed so they could function. It's not going to happen. And now we've got 30 to 40 million invaders in this country. Some of them are probably good people. I'm sure there are. But the vast majority of them are here because they hate this country and they want nothing but handouts. They're greedy parasites, and they're killers. Thousands of Americans a year, American citizens. Some of them are Latino American citizens. I don't care. They're American citizens. They're being killed by these people. And it's not organized to the extent that they've been given a green light to go ahead and formally do it. That's probably in the works. Anyhow, if you're not able to protect yourself with a firearm, you have no chance when this thing goes. It's going to go at some point. And I just can't urge you enough to prepare. It's all we can say. Hello, Mitchell Henderson. Welcome back.
Hello. Yeah, things are just consider what's happened recently. Take into account that Russia finally told the United States, if you fire these long-range missiles at us,
yes,
it means war.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and finally, yeah, we're taking that a little bit seriously.
Yeah.
Okay, but here's the danger. The danger is, if Trump gets elected, Zelensky is going to be... He's an irrational, stupid person, okay? And he's,
yep,
likely to do something to provoke a nuclear war.
I'm thinking the same thoughts, Mitch. I agree completely.
And Biden and Harris are not going to be up for that. They will fall for it. Trump won't respond, but Biden and Harris, they will go. They will be sucked into this, okay? Now let's look at another thing. Let's look at the Middle East. In the Middle East, mm-hmm, did you just see what Iran did? Iran said, told Israel that if they hit their important infrastructure like the oil or nuclear stuff, that Iran would have to reconsider its nuclear policy. Okay.
Correct.
So if,
yeah,
you remember last week, I was talking about nuclear bombs. Okay. So I don't have any technical machining skills or anything like that. I don't have nothing like that. But, you know, if you give me the critical mass of uranium-235, I, just me, in my garage, with things I can get from the hardware store, I can assemble that bomb in a day. Easy. Easy. I can.
Right.
And that's the kind of bomb that Iran has. They can do it even faster than me.
Well, you just said the thing I've been saying for a long time, and I concur with it. We're on the same page. The Iranians have nukes, right? They're not advanced,
sure,
but they've got them. And I really think that Vladimir Putin and Russia should fly some in there to further level the playing field. First-generation nukes under Russian control, but they should give them nukes. That's the only way to shut the Israelis down. Go ahead.
If Israel nukes Iran, Russia will nuke Israel. They will do that.
Well, let's hope.
Iran
there should be equity
in
this horror.
Nuclear umbrella. Yeah. Umbrella.
Right.
Okay, so, and you know what? Our leadership knows that because they're telling Iran, they're telling Israel, don't attack those places and stuff. And they're paying bribes and stuff. Well, this goes further. Because when the United States decided to send a THAAD battery, that's a theater high-altitude anti-air defense system,
right,
to Israel, Iran said, if America puts a THAAD system in Israel, America is at war with Iran.
They did
so
say that I didn't see.
To the point, they're starting to not take shit from us anymore. They're starting
right.
to assert themselves. If you look on the battlefield in Ukraine, you can see that the Russians are marching on. They're just chomping away at the Ukrainian army. They're chomping away at Ukrainian territory and stuff. We're going into the end game now. There, okay. So
there are
the
two
end
stories.
Game is when things get dicey, right?
I agree.
So
Netanyahu to Biden, allegedly, it's just. In the news, he says he vowed, Netanyahu promised, a promise, not to strike Iranian oil or nuclear targets, that he will hit military targets only. So there's a lot going on this chessboard. And remember, it's being played out at four or five levels deep. We don't have any idea what these people are really saying and communicating on back channels. All right, so Netanyahu to Biden has vowed that he will not hit Iranian oil or nuclear targets. Now, that certainly is taking into consideration Vladimir Putin and Sergei Lavrov and what they've been saying. They're going to hit military targets only. Meanwhile, Iran, allegedly, according to TASS, has told the U.S. it will not respond to limited Israeli retribution. Limited. Perhaps limited to military targets only. So here's Iran, who has evened up. They were attacked. They blew up the building, the Jews, and they killed what's his name. And then the Iranians replied and did a lot of. They wiped out the F-35 air base in Israel and many of the F-35s that the Israelis had. So the Israelis now are to the point where they say, well, we're not going to hit the nukes or oil. Iran is saying, well, we won't respond if the Israeli strike is limited. You see the posturing going on behind the scenes? Just you have to really look behind these headlines and think. You get it, of course.
But Iran also told Israel that if Israel attacks civilian population, that Iran will start attacking civilian populations also.
Oh, they should. Absolutely.
The past missiles were at military targets and stuff, okay? So
look what the Jews are doing. Hold on. The Jews in Gaza today hit another school, murdering 22 more, 15 more kids, and these doctors who have been over there volunteering from the West, Western docs, Europe and America, say that they not a day goes by when they don't see little children brought in there with their heads blown up. The snipers are hitting little kids in the head. This is sick.
Sure.
This is not human behavior. No chance.
Listen. Israel intentionally attacks United Nations peacekeeping forts and stuff, okay, positions. They intentionally attack him. They know they're attacking him.
Of course.
And they are so brazen, they tell the UN, get out, or we're going to attack. This is the UN. They have to obey no laws whatsoever.
None.
They are completely
answerable
lawless.
To nobody.
They
nope.
act with impunity, okay?
Yep.
But this is hubris, and we'll see how this plays out in the end, okay? So I want the Americans to think of one other thing, too, in the news recently, okay? We had Hurricane Helene barrel into North Carolina and caused massive flooding, okay? Think about what you saw, the United States government's response to helping the American people in North Carolina. Look
right.
at that, and then think to yourself when there's a nuclear war and they bomb this country, these people in Washington, D.C., these liberal woke people, are they going to come to help anybody at all?
Not a chance.
They will not, okay?
No.
You are seeing the American response of the American response to a nuclear attack on America. You are seeing it in North Carolina.
That's
now.
A good,
it will
very
not
good
exist.
Observation.
They will not
Excellent.
Be here to help you.
No.
They won't do anything for you.
Nope.
They will be there seizing food, seizing supplies to keep it from getting to you.
No.
That's
not to
what
mention
they're
going to
do. That's what they're
Correct.
Doing in North Carolina, and that's what they're going to do to you. Okay, after a nuclear war. So
I concur.
So anyways, tonight I wanted to talk about gunfighting.
Let me ask you one more question before we shift into the main
social.
Topic.
Go ahead, sure.
Hold on, yeah. How much longer can this game of posturing, threats, counter-threats go on? I think that little greaseball, that quadrosexual Zelensky, is going to go back and figure out a way to provoke Russia somehow. He's going to do something.
Yes.
Or his backers to get long-range missiles, cruise missiles, and start hitting Russia. He'll do it. He's the guy is a raging psychopath, ultimately, and that's what he wants to do.
The only thing that we have, in our, the only thing that humanity has in its favor is that MI6 and the CIA has already started preparing Zelensky and his cronies for exile outside of Ukraine when this all is over.
Well, I think they should be planted 6 feet under. Frankly,
they're going to live a good life, and this is what the United States and Great Britain is offering Zelensky is a cushy retirement in wealth in with great things. In other words, they're bribing him to behave. Okay, but
I get it.
Will that work? I don't know.
I think that there are probably, when you look at the international Masonic Zionist satanic cabal, the cartel, I think there may be factions in it that are fighting amongst themselves, arguing. There usually are. You know, evil power is absolute, but it's never cohesive and fully focused. There are always personalities, egos. I don't know the game, but I have an idea. This is far more complex than we'll know.
We can see it in the behavior of the Bolsheviks in the original Politburo.
There you go.
Stalin ended up killing all the five of the other, six of the other eight people.
He
killed most of the people off, yeah.
Right.
So they do fight amongst each other.
Yeah, so that may be where Zelensky is getting his backing. We'll see.
Yeah.
But the guy, here's the biggest issue of all. Why is he still alive? Because he's Jewish, and because the Jewish oligarchs decided that they don't want him dead. And that's the truth.
Yep.
This was decided several years ago.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yep. He's protected.
Ahead.
Okay, so for gunfighting for survival. So inevitably, when there is anarchy and chaos, you will be on your own. You will have to defend yourself against other people. This is a serious consideration because the coming civil war will be intense and World War III will be the worst, most terrible time in human history.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about the collapse of civilization when there are 8 billion people on Earth. Without fuel, electricity, and communications, all supply chains will break down. There will be war, then famine caused by the total breakdown of all supply chains. This will be the worst famine in the history of mankind. There will be widespread cannibalism as a result. You will be food. People will be hunting you. You must know how to defend yourself. Pestilence always follows famine because the immune system is weakened by lack of nutrition. Diseases that are not normally fatal will become fatal. How does the UN deal with the pestilence?
If I might add, Mitch,
yep.
Now the immune systems yep. of 80%+ of Americans are guaranteed compromised and weak because of the injections. Guaranteed.
And I think that was intended.
You betcha.
Okay. How does the UN deal with the pestilence that accompanies famine? They pass out vitamin A in the affected area, and it reduces mortality by boosting immune systems. What is the best way to avoid pestilence? Stay away from other people. In medieval times, when the plague was burning through Europe, some villages cut themselves off from the outside world. Nobody was allowed in, and if you left, you could not come back. Edgar Allan Poe even wrote a story about this called The Mask of the Red Death, about people entering specifically to intentionally spread the disease to the self-quarantine. As you can see, almost all these scenarios include violence as an integral part of living in such conditions. You must know how to gunfight. Why gunfight? Because you cannot take the risks of losing in hand-to-hand combat or knife fighting. There is an old saying that God created men and Samuel Colt made them equal. You are not in an MMA fight. You are trying to survive. When they say the fittest survive, you need to see that in its correct context. It is the guy that survives that is, in fact, the fittest. It has nothing to do with how big and strong you are. It has everything to do with how vicious and relentless you are. Okay? So the first thing you got to know is how not to get hit. The first aspect of gunfighting is how not to get hit. You cannot kill your enemy if you are dead. That is what concealment, camouflage, and cover is about. Concealment is simply hiding from the enemy eye observation. The enemy is unlikely to attack something they cannot see. Concealment is anything that hides you from enemy observation. Hopefully, we all know how to hide. Use your imagination and try it out. Practice it. Hide and have friends try to find you. You know who is best at finding you? Cops. You know what cops really do? Look up. I arrested a rapist once who told me that he was not caught at the scene of the rape because although there was about 5 patrol units looking for him, he had climbed a tree and none of the cops looked up. Even inside dwellings, many made their escape from cops by climbing through the attic of the house or just hid there until the cops went away. A few cops will check the attic, but most just don't care. It is too much work for them. Criminals take pride in their work, and so they will brag about it to you. I tried to always listen to them brag so I could learn from them. You know what good cops do when they are chasing you and then they don't see you anymore? They stop. I used to have to chase lots of fleeing criminals through both urban and rural environments. If I did not see them anymore, I would stop and start looking in the immediate area. I always found the person I was chasing within about 30 feet of where I stopped. Always. Every time. Soldiers are also good at looking for you because it is their job. Keep in mind that many of your adversaries will be current or former cops and soldiers. Practice concealment if you can. Camouflage is anything that you use to keep yourself, your equipment, and your position from looking like what they are. When looking at something, the human eye will look for things that are shaped like a person. So break that pattern with cloth, twigs, or a ghillie suit. The human eye will lock on to colors that are out of place or shiny reflective objects. This quickly draws attention to that object. Don't have any. Blend yourself in with your environment. When I went through basic combat training at Fort Campbell, Kentucky in 1971, they took us out to a grassy field with some shrubs and had us sit in some bleachers. We were told to spot any enemy soldiers that we could see in front of us. They had the further out stand up first, but the real surprise was all of them that were hiding only about 10 feet away. Of the 40 of us, none of us saw them. I mention this to illustrate just how good camouflage can be in concealing your presence. Make sure that your equipment and your firing positions are just as well camouflaged. It can save your life. Even large ships in wartime just put some paint on in patterns that break the outline of the shape of the ship to avoid detection. It works. The brain of the guy looking through the submarine telescope is looking for shapes that look like a ship. Some alternating dark and light-colored zigzag thick vertical lines break up that pattern. Okay? So cover protects you from bullets, shrapnel, and blast. It is any material that will stop a bullet. Kevlar vests are good if you can afford one. Get the highest protection level. Realistically, they will often give you more protection than they say. They are concerned with lawsuits, so they often rate them for lower calibers than they can actually handle. The Kevlar vest that I had as a cop was rated for .38 caliber and 9mm. I spilled coffee, iced tea, hot chocolate, and, of course, booze on it. I sweated in it. I got it soaked in the rain. I abused it. It was 30 years old when I put it on a solid post and shot it from 4 feet away with a .45 caliber automatic pistol. The .45 did not penetrate it. That said, most are made for protection from pistols. You need trauma plates to insert to get rifle protection. Get a vest that will take trauma plates. If you are going to buy one, do some research on it first. YouTube has plenty of videos. Some people make their own out of different metals. I've seen them for sale at gun shows. I bought one from a guy who said that it would stop a 300 Winchester Magnum. Never take their word for it. I borrowed a friend's 300 Winchester Magnum and tried it out. It did stop it. Keep in mind that if you are hit even with a vest on, it still hurts like hell and leaves bruises. While working mugging decoy, I was often stabbed by various types of knives, and my .38 caliber rated vest stopped all of them. Your vest can help you avoid serious injury from blunt force trauma. I saw a video of an Arkansas State Trooper named Ray crash head-on into a car. That is an immense amount of blunt force trauma. He was only winded from the blunt force trauma. It was enough to kill him without a vest on. The best thing you can do is check out the bullet-stopping power of things in your environment, both urban and rural. Be careful with ricochets when you do this. There's no point in practicing for survival if the practice is going to kill you or an allied friend or family. For example, cement blocks and red bricks will not stop a 9mm pistol round. 1 foot of reinforced concrete, on the other hand, will stop a 7.62 times 50mm NATO round. In rural environment, don't distrust. Oh, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Before we leave or pass by the vest issue, it's something that very few people actually have, unless you're in law enforcement. I shouldn't say very few, but relatively few. Now, they generally come, this is just generalizing, in pistol-stopping vest configuration or rifle plate. Now, you can get a pistol-stopping vest, which is should be anything 45 and, I guess, lower, and then you can get plates to put in there, which will do 7.62 and 5. I guess they'll do it all, or most all.
Yeah.
But they're heavy. They've got some weight to them. Now, you mentioned Kevlar. There are some companies that have it's very, very thin cloth-like Kevlar, and I think it's a new something, but the idea is Kevlar-ish. It's the same sort of thing. But again, it's pistols only. In this nightmare, a lot of people have ARs. They're going to be firing 5.56, all right? They're going to be, or 223, whatever. A pistol vest will not stop that round. So are we to the point where we really should, as standard operating protocol, have a rifle plate vest? Is that just better?
Do you feel
confident? Go ahead.
If all you can get is a Kevlar vest, remember that they're not only just there to stop, pistol bullets, they can stop knives rated too. They can stop shrapnel from explosions too. And I said, it can even help prevent blunt force trauma.
Right.
Okay, so they're still useful, but for rifle you need a trauma plate to stop a rifle.
For sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So. All right. Very good. Well, a lot of these vests, the outer shell, the part you see that you wear, is called a carrier. And in that carrier, right. you decide what you want to stuff in there, something to stop all pistol rounds mm-hmm. or to put in the rifle protection plates, either way. And the good ones will have room for both, so you can really take care of yourself. But in any case, anything is better than nothing, because they have corollary protection as well. Like Mitch just said, shrapnel kinds of things, blunt force things. Get a vest if you can.
Listen, some states you can just buy them. Some states you can buy the military trauma plates. Sometimes you can just buy everything. Some states don't allow it, okay? You have to be law enforcement or to buy it, but if you've got a relative that's in law enforcement, you know, they might be able to get it for you. Also, consider companies. Some companies will not sell to anybody. They like when I bought mine, I had to copy my credentials and send it to them. Okay, they wanted to see law enforcement credentials for me to buy it and stuff. So depends on the company, depends on the state. Okay,
got it.
But if there's a will, there's a way. All right.
Yep. You bet.
So, in rural environment, don't just test one kind of tree. Different wood has different density. Where I live, a 1 foot in diameter cedar tree will not stop a .308 caliber round. But a one
really?
Foot diameter
12 inches
tree
of cedar
will,
wood? Well, cedar isn't the,
will
the most.
Not stop
it's not hardwood. It's kind
no,
of soft wood.
But, no, it's not.
Oh, okay.
It's a very soft, yeah. But a 1 foot diameter pinyon tree will stop a .308. When choosing a tree to get behind for cover, you must know this. If you dig in and you have some excellent cover, even digging in a little bit for cover, laying prone gives you some cover. So the idea is to present as little of your body as a target as you can. I've been caught in the open and just dropped on my back, still facing the enemy, and fired while laying on my back. That was an emergency, though. Prone facing.
How did you end up on your back? Excuse me, how did you end up on your back?
I just dropped and
oh, you,
and
was it just a defensive posture? You laid down,
shooting.
Okay. Yeah.
Right. So prone facing forward is better. An important thing is to present as little of your body as possible as a target. If caught out in the open without any available cover, the prone position is best. There is another advantage to this. If you're an average shooter, place a can on a fence at about your eye level, then place one on the ground below it. You will find it easier to hit the can at your eye level than the one on the ground because your eyes will make you misjudge the trajectory to the ground. Plus
interesting
the fact
point.
That gravity is cooperating with the bullet rather than the bullet fighting against it when shooting downwards.
Right.
Shooting downwards changes things a little bit. A good example of this is if you are on a cliff 1,000 feet high and your target is 100 feet out from the base of the cliff, what is the range to the target? The novice may think it's 1,000, 1,100 feet or some trigonometric average of those two figures. In fact, the range is 100 feet because the bullet is going with gravity and not against it. Shooting up the cliff is the opposite. Gravity is working against it. Of course, if you're at the base of a cliff shooting straight up, what goes up must come down, and you might hit yourself. Don't shoot straight up into the air, okay? Some people have to be told this, okay? What goes up must come down.
Right.
This illustrates the way that we misjudge vertical range, and that makes you safer if you are prone, okay? So when firing from behind cover, always shoot around the cover and not over it. When I was 7 years old, I was in my first gunfight. It was a Sunday, and we were at my aunt's house in Belmont,
Seven years old?
7 years
Seven?
Old, yeah. She had a small country store next to her house with a gas pump. They were closed on Sunday. The adults were on the porch, and the kids were playing in the yard. Some guys came to buy gas. My aunt told them politely that they were closed. They got nasty with her, telling her to open. She pulled a revolver on them and emphatically said no. They drove off, but turned around. My uncle told everybody to take cover. All the adults were already armed. They came driving back towards the store. I ran behind a wood telephone pole. My father, who is a Pacific War veteran of the fighting in the Philippines, grabbed and put me behind a stone wall. He explained that bullets will go through the telephone pole, but not through the rock wall. He told me that if I had to look, not to look over the rock wall, because it would be easy for the bad guys to shoot me. He said, lay down and peek out the corner of the rock wall as low as to the ground as possible. He told me only to look for a few seconds and then get back behind cover. He told me only to stick my head out far enough to see. I asked him for a gun. He rubbed my head, smiling, and said there's only enough guns for the big people. Later that year, he gave me my first gun, a 7.7 Arisaka Type 99 Japanese sniper rifle that he took off an Imperial Japanese soldier at the invasion of the Gulf of Wangayan. What he told me then was solid information. If you have a rifle, do not stick it out from behind a wall before you look, or it will signal your enemy where you are and that your head exactly. is likely to follow. Try to do the same around corners. Never peek around at head level because that is where the enemy is likely to expect to see you. Try to be in the shadows to lessen your visibility. Don't let yourself be highlighted by lighter colors behind you, and don't be skylighted over objects. The day of the big shootout in Kentucky, the adults who were caught out in the open assumed a prone position. Almost all my uncles and older cousins fought in World War II, either in the Pacific or in Europe. My oldest uncle was born in 1884, so this is how old these people were. They were skilled infantrymen. When the car came to a stop in front of my aunt's house, the gunfire began. It was fast and furious. The car drove off with many holes in it and the glass shattered. There was blood on the street and a couple of fingers. Those guys were amateurs. The car gives you no cover unless the engine block was between you and the incoming bullets. Bullets will sail right on through the rest of the car. If you must run under fire, run in bushes, smoke, or into the trees so that you present less of a target. I once ran from right where they had the gun almost next to me to cover in a ditch about 20 foot away. I zigzagged and ran very fast. I did not get hit. They had two 38 caliber revolvers to shoot me with. Thank God they were drunk. Try to always zigzag. You really are harder to hit. Another reason why this is so important is that when civilization collapses, there will be no medical care. You simply cannot afford to get wounded. A gunshot wound that is easily survived now will probably be fatal after the collapse of civilization. Even a minor wound could get infected and result in death.
If I might add, add this. Most important, you all must have Allison C. in your medicine cabinet, in your reserve stash of whatever you have for your well-being. It will stop most every pathogenic bacterial infection from group A, strep, staph. It doesn't matter. It's going to stop it. We have all the data, all the evidence. Allison C. is tested every time before it's encapsulated on MRSA. And unless it stops the MRSA cold, it always does, but that's their acid test. So please get the Allison C. And nutritionally, you cannot do better than bio-superfood. So those two things, I think, are essentials in these times. Go ahead. Thanks, Mitch.
Well, if you remember, you sent me some Allison C. for a respiratory infection, and it certainly helped.
Thank you.
I used it for, I think it was 4 days. I took a four-day run on it, and it really, really made the big difference. I could tell
Thank you. It does. So, yeah, very good.
So anyways, even a minor wound could get infected and result in death. It also makes you weak and less able to take care of yourself or compete for survival. So you don't want to get wounded, okay? So the other thing is how to hit your enemy. Hitting your enemy is part of how not to get hit. Take out your enemy and he cannot hit you. Any threat to you must be taken out. Humans are crafty, and if he knows you are there, he can stalk you and kill you. You must destroy any threat. We are talking about a situation where civilization has collapsed. There are no police, security, court orders, or jail. There will be no review by a prosecutor or a judge. You are on your own. If someone threatens you, you must eliminate the threat. There are a lot of evil people in the world already, but once law and order are gone, there will be more. You must know how to shoot your weapon accurately under many different conditions. This means you must practice. Red Army Marshal Tukhachevsky had a saying that we internalized in the Army Cavalry. Train hard, battle easy. Train progressively and get comfortable in each set of training scenarios. Start with a still target from a still position. Practice with your strong hand or arm, then with your weak one. This is so you can shoot around corners without exposing too much of your body. It's also in case you get shot or injured in one arm, you can still shoot with the other. You may be finished, but you want to help take out those who are attacking your family or friends. I've seen grievously injured people fight on when it seems impossible. Keep this in mind when you shoot somebody. Keep shooting until they drop and no longer pose a threat. Then disarm them. Even if you think they are dead, tie their hands behind their back. Be double extra sure they can no longer hurt you. Yes, I'm telling you to be paranoid. Consider them the Terminator and that they will be back, okay? Also, practice all these positions with your strong and weak eye. Which eye is your strong eye, and which one is your weak eye? Extend your arm out and hold your thumb up in front of your face. With both eyes open, put your thumb so that it covers a distant object. Then close your left eye. If the thumb is still covering the object, then your right eye is your strong eye. It is the eye that you will use to aim with most of the time. Then open both eyes again and put the thumb back over the object. Now close the right eye. The thumb should be way off the object. This is your weak eye. You want to train in all situations with your weak eye in case you lose an eye during a fight, okay? This is vision, foresight, thinking ahead. Then practice all of the above, but have the target move. Then practice the above while you are moving. Then practice all of the above while both you and the target are moving. Then start all over and run a mile and practice all of the above. Now you are simulating actual gunfighting situations. An actual gunfight is very stressful and a lot of hard work. Also, learn how to smoothly transition from your rifle to using your pistol. If you are being attacked and run out of rifle ammunition, you will need to rely on your pistol, especially if your enemy is charging at you. Gunfights are usually not leisurely. They are fast and violent because they are a fight to the death. I have never been in a leisurely gunfight. Be very careful doing this. Range safety is so important because if you get killed during practice, you have not survived. I had an acquaintance who was a Customs and Border Protection special agent who was very proficient in firearms. He practiced safely but still ended up killing his best friend with a gut shot while practicing on still targets. Firearms are extremely dangerous. They are intended to be so. Consequently, the people wielding them must be attentive and safe while practicing. I think it is a good idea to practice weapons fighting with paintball and airsoft weapons. It is fun, and you can see how easy it is for you to get hit. Practice it both in town and rural areas, especially in an environment that you expect to run to. Moving from shooting target to shooting people is a big leap. Targets pose no threat to you. Humans are going to desperately want to kill you before you can kill them. A gunfight is desperate and chaotic. I see many target shooters try to see if they hit the target after they fire. If you hit a human, they should go down. Do not shoot and look for results. Keep shooting until you see results. Keep shooting until they go down and can do you no more harm. Humans are wily, so be careful approaching them when they go down because that could be a ruse to get you to come closer so they can shoot you. Even if they know that they are going to die, they can still want revenge. Wounded animals are extremely dangerous. When I was 17, me and a buddy were hunting in some mountains southwest of Seward, Alaska. We were hungry. We saw a wolverine on a ridge on the other side of a steep valley. It was all snow covered. I shot him with my .30-06 caliber 1903 A3 Springfield rifle, and he went down. We trekked down the valley and back up the ridge where he was. He appeared dead. He was a wolverine, so I was not about to touch him. I poked him with the barrel of my rifle. He bit the end of my rifle barrel and began fighting like a Tasmanian devil in cartoons. I had to chamber another round and blow him off the barrel of my rifle. This time it took his brains out, so he was dead. His meat was tough and gamey, but he was food. As a general rule, carnivores have tough and gamey meat, and herbivores have more tender and delicious meat. The point is that humans are an apex predator, so if you know how to be careful approaching dead or injured animals, certainly be cautious of dead or wounded humans. Also, be very cautious around humans that you did not kill. Are they there as bait that when you check them or go to loot from them, you get taken out by a sniper? Are their bodies otherwise booby-trapped so that moving their body will set off an explosive? And finally, never bury these bodies because it lets people know that you were there. Living in war is not like living in peace. Your habits and impulses need to change to adapt to the new reality.
Well, and then on the other hand, if you see a dead animal, some game that has been shot and grossly dismembered by the round, you don't want to leave that out either. It's going to show people that someone's been there having dinner, right? So maybe burying is an option?
Well, if it's yours.
I see.
Okay.
I see. All right.
If it's yours, if you shot it, and it's, you know, that goes without saying. It's like you're always going to bury your trash because you can be trailed by your trash.
Got it. Yeah.
So maintain fire upon your enemy until they are dead. Shoot rapidly and accurately until you get the desired effect. Your objective is to destroy your enemy. All fighting follows the same principles. From a fist fight between two people all the way up to a war between two nations. Von Clausewitz says in his book On War, "When I was young, I had to fight all the time. When I moved to the East Park neighborhood in Detroit from rural Montana, I had to fight just about every day. I know grown men now that have never been in a fight. If you have no experience of this, take some martial arts classes. Take your wife and kids. There's probably not a lot of time to get good at it, but the value that you are looking for is sparring. If you can get in the habit of physically fighting with others, it is a step up from nothing. I took Taekwondo in Korea. I got to a brown belt from the Korean Taekwondo Association. Although I had already had to fight a lot, the sparring and tournaments were very helpful because I had to train with a variety of people. Sparring people much better than me was the best experience. When I got out of the Army the first time, I worked as a security guard at the Memphis Commercial Appeal newspaper plant. A fellow guard named Curry, who was a Vietnam vet, was into karate. He practiced at Bill Wallace's Tennessee Karate Academy dojo. He wanted to spar with me, so he took me up and introduced me to Bill Wallace and asked him if I could come and spar. Bill Wallace was very gracious to Vietnam veterans when most of society was not. He said yes, but I would have to spar him also. He had a hook kick that you simply could not see coming. He was so fast with it, he did not really signal it, at least not that I could detect. It did not matter if Bill always won. What mattered is that I got to practice fighting with someone who was much better than me. That is how you improve and get confidence. Sure. You need confidence just to go into the fight in the first place. We are talking about a fight after there is no law and order. There will be no assault and battery charges, no homicide investigations. There will only be first-place winners. There is no second place in a real fight. In a gunfight, the prize for first place is that you get to live. The second-place fighter is dead. Mindset is very important. When I worked in the streets as a cop in Tampa, Florida, I got into knockdown, drag-out fights at least once a week, and maybe more. When I worked vice, it seemed like I would get into several fights a night. It did not matter how big, how skilled, or how bad someone was. It was my job to arrest them, and I had no choice but to win every single one of those fights.
Got it.
Without exception. Once I had decided to arrest someone, they were going to jail no matter what. That is the mindset. I resolved to win the fight and had no mental space for defeat. What I lacked in size, strength, training, and skill, I made up for in determination and pure viciousness. Often I had to fight alone without backup, and often that was with more than one opponent. I would have to rapidly escalate the violence beyond what they were expecting or willing to accept. My sergeant used to get upset about me arresting large groups of people by myself. My only tool was to instill the fear of violence in them by escalation. Fear is the currency of control. I applied the principles of war. We'll talk about the principles of war later on. I think next week I want to cover firearms, okay? The type of guns or gun selection, okay?
Very good. So, very good. I must have bought 6-8 different holsters, nice holsters, mm-hmm. cheap holsters, leather holsters. And the best holster I have ever found for me, and I'm not telling anybody what to buy or what to do here, is that you've seen it online. It's called the Vanish holster.
Mm-hmm.
It's Velcro. It's very soft material, very durable material, and extremely comfortable. You don't even know you're wearing it. I mean, yeah, you put something in your belt. You got to loop your belt in it. You put it in, it's hanging right there. You know what I mean by the Vanish? It's V-N-I-S-H, Vanish. It doesn't have the A in it.
Well, I've actually seen them. I've seen them.
Yeah, it's real nice. It's real nice. What do you like?
What I suggest to people is go ahead and try different things and find the thing that works for you.
Okay. There you go.
Everybody's a little bit different. On some of my like prime pistols, I'll actually go have a hard plastic like cast made of it that fits that gun just the right way. Okay, there's people who will do that for you. You just talk to your gun store owner, and they probably know somebody who can make holsters for you. Okay, they're kind of expensive. Well, I don't know. I've had them do them for like $50. You know, which is a lot of money for a holster, but then again, it's your life, you know. It makes it easier to carry, it makes it easier to remove, to put back in.
Yeah. Well, this one for me is very very comfortable, and it's you actually don't, he's not lying, you don't even notice you're wearing it. It's just like a nice snug thing around your waist, very comfortable. But whatever works for you, that's it. You've got to find out what is convenient, accessible.
I mean, listen, when I worked Vice, I'd have to pull my gun on people a lot. I did is I tied rubber bands around the handle, okay, and just put it in my waistband. Because guns will fall down your waistband very easy, okay?
Uh-huh.
There's many times on the police department when I went out to eat lunch, and my gun, I'm in civilian clothes, of course, I'm working plain clothes, my gun goes down my pants leg, and I have to pull my gun up in front of everybody. They always call the police on me, and so I'm already the police, so it doesn't matter. But what I learned to do is just take rubber bands and tie them around the handle, and then the gun won't slip down your pants. It'll stay to your.
Where do you put the other end of the rubber
band?
Where do you attach the other end of the rubber band? What do you loop it around?
No, you just wrap them around the handle. And what happens is...
Oh, to make it a little thicker, so it's not smooth and slick.
Well, you're making it grippier, too. The rubber band will go against your skin, and it'll really hold it on there and stuff, okay? And it did not impede me pulling the gun out when I needed it. So, you know. And I was doing that for a very specific reason, Jeff, because I was working plainclothes undercover. A lot of times I could not use a holster because the bad guys are looking for my gun. So I had to find a place to hide my gun where the bad guys would not find it. And fortunately, I had a police captain give us training in hiding weapons, and he was good. He'd come in and he'd hide a bunch of weapons on him, and he'd say, okay, everybody come and search me and find all the weapons. And we'd find maybe 20, 30 weapons on him. And he says, is that it? Is everybody satisfied? Then he'd pull out 20 more weapons. Okay. So even if people search very good, you can hide guns pretty good. And I had a good hiding place. I'm not going to share my hiding place with everybody, but I had cops search me and not find it, and I had bad guys search me and not find it. So it was a good place. You know?
All right, well, you can tell me off air.
Okay, I'll tell you off air.
That's funny.
That's something, if you have a good routine, it's best not to advertise it to everybody.
Of course not. No, this is good.
Right.
Do you like ankle holsters under your pant cuff? They're usually caught in a search, but...
Well, they are caught in a search. If you have one that can, you know, you got to remember you're going to be running and stuff too. So your ankle holsters don't hold the gun in while you're running also. But there is occasion when my ankle holster has come in handy. I have pulled a gun from my ankle and it has come in handy before. So, you know, I want to discourage anybody from anything. I think what you need to do is find out what works for you. Like if you want to find out where you can hide a gun and people can't find it, have people search you. Just practice. Have people search you and find out where you can put it where people aren't going to look, you know. If you have any criminal friends, have them search. If you have any cop friends, have them search. I mean, just do what I did, right?
Smart.
It's through practice.
Okay. Well, this is, again, thank you, Mitch. You're giving us information that I didn't even imagine finding anywhere else constantly. So very much appreciated by a lot of people. I get email often saying, my favorite guests are blah, blah, and blah, blah, and Mitchell Henderson is right there. So we got a lot of friends out there.
So
they appreciate it.
So keep in mind that all this information is in the book that I put out, available on Amazon, The Final Wars, How to Survive the Coming Civil War in America, World War III, and the Collapse of Civilization.
Buy Mitchell's book. It's a Bible. Yes, yes. Virtually indispensable information. The Final Wars, Amazon. Thank you, my friend. Talk to you next week. You be careful.
Okay.
Okay,
you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good night, Mitch. Okay, and a good night to all of you. We'll be back with you tomorrow night. In 21 hours, lots to think about. Talk then.